Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series. Today we're speaking with Pat Broom, a senior director at Altus Group, about personal property and retailers, specifically when it comes to furniture and fixture valuations. And Pat, how are you doing today?
Good, Matt. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for joining us. And let's jump right in. The number of retailers appealing and reducing their personal property assessments has gone up. Did something change in the marketplace?
I would say yes and no. The assessors really have not changed at all in the last 20, 30 years. Their approach is pretty much the same. They think that these items are going to last somewhere between 10 and 12 years, and they're trying to measure how much physical wear and tear occurs over that period of time, and they're going to put the property on a traditional cost approach and value it like that. But for retailers, things have changed dramatically. It's a gradual change. I think it's something that happens kind of in plain sight that people don't realize until they stop and look at everything. But if you think about what retailers were like in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up, stores looked dramatically different. Fixtures were crammed in, kind of all, one on top of each other, because you wanted to get as many SKUs, as many individual items in a store as possible. You looked at a customer as somebody that once they came in, you didn't want them leaving without the good they were looking for, and you need to give them as many options as possible. Bigger was better for them. That was kind of the advent of these giant, super Walmarts, where you'd have 200,000 square feet of space. People would get their exercise just walking through the store. That's very different in today's world. An interesting statistic, one out of every three goods that is purchased that's not an automobile, that's not a grocery, one out of every three goods that are purchased in North America is purchased on Amazon. Very different way of shopping now. You go into stores now, and it's more like a showroom type feel. They know, the retailers know that anybody that is going to buy a good is probably going to price shop on their phone. They want to make sure they can offer the best prices, but also direct them if they will. You have in-store kiosks. You have directing them back online to find the good and find it hopefully on their website and buy it from there if you don't like the exact option that's in the store. Again, Amazon is really kind of taken over the marketplace. So what have they done? They've put a lot of companies out of business. You have a huge consolidation going on. What happens to those old fixtures? They end up going on the used market, flooding the supply of the used market. And there really isn't demand because these goods have lost some of their economic utility. That's economic obsolescence. So economic obsolescence needs to be considered by these assessors, but it's not. Their depreciation tables are built off of Marshall and Swift almost always, and Marshall and Swift will specifically state that we're capturing physical wear and tear, but we're not capturing abnormal obsolescence. If you're talking about stores that are seeing their in-store sales drop over a 10-year period by 30%, that is absolutely economic obsolescence, and it should be captured.
Interesting. So to summarize, there are additional forms of depreciation that assessors aren't really considering when they arrive at value. Is that it?
No, there's other things that should be looked at by retailers. Again, there aren't as many goods that are in the store. So if you're looking at, when I say goods, there's not as many items for sale, but there's also not as many fixtures. A basic premise of the cost approach is that you're supposed to look at replacement cost new and then depreciate it. Replacement cost new for these retailers would be less fixtures in the store that are currently there. So if you're taking the original cost and indexing it up to come to reproduction cost new, that's not the same as replacement cost new. Also, you've had a lot of consolidation happening in the market. So as a result of the consolidation, the bigger retailers that are left, the Walmarts, the Targets, the Kohl's, they get better pricing on the fixtures when they purchase them now than they did 10 years ago. So the assessor's depreciation tables assume that the price of all goods go up over time to match inflation. We've seen a lot when we look at these items that the price that it costs a Walmart to buy, or Kohl's or a Target, the cost of to buy their fixtures is not anywhere near mirroring the general inflation tables that the assessors are using. Then also you have to look at the year life assessors are putting on it. Again, they used to think that the idea is that these fixtures would last 10, 12 years when you put them in the stores. You need to create that showroom type feel, and that is very much of a what's in the market now. So these stores are constantly refreshing their fixture look so that they can attract new customers when they come in. Nobody wants to go into a store that has 10-year-old fixtures. So you have to look at more than just the economics of it all. But yeah, there's three or four different spots in the cost approach that the assessors are using that I don't think the assumptions are the same now as they were 20 years ago.
So is this opportunity in any way location specific?
No, it really isn't. Like I said, the internet is really kind of taken over the way everybody shops now, and it's the same for used fixtures in the market. So the best way for me to value these would be looking at a sales comparable approach. And if you're going to look at a sales comparable approach, you need to look at what anybody buying these items, the furniture and fixtures in a retail store, what they would sell for. And you're not going to just in San Jose say, okay, I need to buy a gondola racking system and only look for things that are for sale in San Jose, California. You're going to get online. You're going to go on eBay. You're going to go to used furniture store outlets that are on the mall that are on the internet and say, okay, this is exactly what I want. This is the best selection of items that I can get. And you're going to purchase it probably online. So what a fixture would sell for in Corpus Christi, Texas, is pretty much what a fixture would sell for in Macon, Georgia. It just doesn't change depending on where you're going.
Great. So is this the only way retailers should look to lower their personal property tax expense then?
No, there's a couple different ways when we look at our client stuff. Distribution centers are also another one that has changed dramatically. You know, we have some of our clients have completely revamped their distribution network as a result of e-commerce trade. So if I were to go and purchase an item from any of your Fortune 500 retailers online, it's going to go most likely get shipped out of a unique distribution center specifically set up for e-commerce. And that involves oftentimes more people because every item that goes out of that distribution center is unique, right? It's not we're shipping all of these picnic tables to all of our stores throughout the country. It is Pap Room wants to buy this shirt and this pair of socks. So imagine what that does for your conveyor system. Imagine what that does for when items come into the distribution center need to get sorted and put in those individual boxes as they go out. The conveyor systems that are in there are in so many ways obsolete, both functionally obsolete, so functional obsolescence exists as a result, but also economically obsolescent. You used to have conveyors that were set up to serve a multinational retail store location distribution network, and that's not the case anymore. You have less stores that are popping up and more stores closing than opening. So they're built to serve a much bigger network than the one they're serving, and that again is economic obsolescence. So you really have a lot going on for distribution centers. The other one's inventory valuation, and there's a whole nother opportunity there, and I think that's going to be part two of our podcast series here, so I'm not going to spoil it all right now.
Perfect, and that's correct. That's a great way to end this podcast series. And for all of our this podcast interview, stay tuned for podcast number two with Pat, where we speak to him further about retail inventory valuation And for this one, Pat, we'd like to thank you for your time and look forward to talking with you on our next podcast.
Thanks for your time, Matt.